Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this final summary episode for Eve of Adam. I'm your host and author, Sean Schuster, and if you're listening to this, I hope you're happy with everything you've heard on Eve of Adam. I wanted to take this opportunity on this final episode to just talk about the evolutions of the story and give you a bit more of an insight into how it was all made and why I made it. But first off, I wanted to thank everyone who has subscribed, downloaded, listened, emailed, commented, or just in any other way contributed to this audiobook. It's been a very long road, spanning over 9 months now, since I launched the site and got that first teaser episode out. Now that's a long time, and so much has happened during that period. When I first started and planned this whole thing, I worked full-time as a graphic artist at a pretty busy print shop. I spent most of my day in front of a computer, which is where I started really fleshing out this whole story, instead of, you know, doing work like I was supposed to be doing. And previous to this, I did a few other podcasts, and that job is where I spent so much of my time writing. Whether I was writing for my podcasts, or some type of other story, or a blog, or anything like that, I just loved writing, and I did it at this job. I've always loved writing, though, because like I have all of these boxes of notebooks in my basement that my parents saved for me from when I was just a kid, and I would write all of these crazy stories, mostly fantasy or sci-fi stories. And it's funny because there are so many of these stories. A lot of them are pretty small. Most of them aren't finished. And it's funny because they started buying me like these 5 subject notebooks so that I could write a story in each subject. I would have 5 stories in one notebook. It worked out pretty well. Anyway, that job allowed me to release my creativity, since the job itself was pretty mindless, and I needed some type of an outlet. So not long after I started the book, in March of this year, I actually was offered a job writing for real at Massively.com. And this was pretty much a dream come true to me, and it was something that I wasn't about to pass up. So I took the job originally as a part-time gig, but my full-time day job was starting to get pretty busy, a lot busier than normal. The busy season was coming upon us, and I would spend 12 to 14 hours a day at work, which just wasn't for me. I mean, I know I say that I sat there and I wrote a lot, but I couldn't just do that all day. There's no way. But also, you know, I'm the type of person who is all about working hard. I'm not saying don't work hard, because I do it now. I spend sometimes literally all day from morning until I go to bed writing, because it's what I love to do. And I didn't love my day job, and it made me miserable, hence the whole creative outlet thing and the reason for this book even coming to life finally. So I'm now writing for a living full-time since I quit the other job in April, but now I have my creative outlet. So yeah, that became an ironic situation because I found myself in a rut when it came to the storyline. And now you might be thinking, well, why would that be a problem? I mean, all you have to do is record what you've already written, right? And then bam, you're done. Well, this is where the experimental part of this whole project comes into play. Remember when I first started Eve of Adam, I referred to it as a project and an experiment of sorts? Now, this is for several reasons. Number one, it's an audiobook written and performed by me as a daily diary, right? And I understand that most audiobook authors perform their own work because it's cheap, it's easy, and you have total control over what happens, so it makes sense. The diary part was really the only experiment here, and I wanted to know if I could be as convincing as both the main character and the guy who does the summary episodes. I didn't know if that would distract anyone. Number two, mixing religion and sci-fi is tricky. I even had a recent comment about this, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I'm so glad that someone caught on to how much of a fine line exists there, because these days, it's hard to bring religion into anything, into any type of general conversation, because it always polarizes people, almost instantly. And I have my beliefs, and this is my story, so I just went for it, you know, and I'm glad I did. So the third reason, and this is a big one, is I wrote the story as I went along. Now, don't get me wrong, I did have detailed outlines for every chapter, and I stuck to that those outlines fairly well. I had the first 10 chapters written before I even started recording at all, and I figured that I could easily catch up and do this as a once-a-week thing still. You know, I figured that maybe I would always be a couple chapters ahead of myself, and then I would always have some a little bit of a cushion there to write and release and still maintain a pretty tight schedule. Well, then I got the new job, and the extracurricular writing was it got slowed down quite a bit. But, you know, I'm not one to start a project really without finishing it properly. So, and this story was big, you know, as I'll explain here in a minute. What's funny, though, is I'm very glad that I did it this way, except for the fact that people, I think listeners maybe got a little bit turned off to the fact that they had to wait 2 weeks to get a little tiny 10 to 15 minute episode, you know. I think that hurt me in the long run. And I'm sure people got bored or forgot what was even happening in the story and they just stopped listening. So if I do this again, I may do it differently in that respect. But like I said, I am glad I did it this way because I evolved the story in ways that I never thought about when I had originally written the first chapter outline and I started the first 10 chapters. A good example of this is Eldra was actually going to be the guy standing next to Evan at the end when he threw the recorder into the pit. Tin was going to be someone who actually died during a scuffle with the other researchers. That's how I originally wrote it. And I decided to turn around because I thought it would be more interesting the way that I ended up writing it. And this is a choice I made literally at the last minute, but I'm glad I did it. You know, most of the major events, though, like the beginning confusion from Evan, the part about the bottomless pit leading back to John, and how it tied into the dream and all that, and then the ending where Evan decided to stay, those were all ideas that I had in there from the very beginning, and I never changed my mind on those. So, let's talk about the inspiration for all of this. Well, as you probably know, I'm a religious guy, and I love science fiction. I was raised Christian, and I was always into the history of all religions. I once read the Quran when I was in high school because it just fascinated me that it was essentially the same story as the Bible, but from a different perspective and with different names of key figures like Abraham and Moses. I studied Martin Luther. I actually was raised Lutheran, but I studied a lot of his teachings and the way that he basically protested against the Catholics, which is, you know, the beginning of the Protestant movement. And this all fascinated me, the fact that he saw what was being done by Catholicism, and he said, wait a minute, this is not, you know, this is not right. And I just always respected that whole story and everything. So that was a big thing to me. And I would study, this is the funny part, is I would study this stuff while I was in college, going to classes about color theory and art history, you know, and this is a way I've always been. You know, I used to go in high school, I used to bring books on the COBOL computer language, and I would read them during biology class. And I don't know why I did this stuff, but it's just, that's just how I am. It might be why I wasn't exactly top of the class. I don't know. Anyway, when I was about 17 or 18, I had this crazy thought about, what if instead of there being parallel universes that existed in the same time as us, yet on a different plane or dimension, what if there were actually just multiple Earths? Like, what if God created a whole bunch of identical Milky Way galaxies, and they each had their own Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, etc., and he started each one out exactly the same, with, you know, their own Adam and Eve, and he even named them Adam and Eve. Everything started out exactly the same, and they all had their own chance to evolve from that same single point. And these were like his own personal ant farms that he watched over. And what if these different Earths, they all played out differently? Like, what if one of them had an Eve who didn't take from the tree of life, and therefore they were sinless? And that's pretty much, you know, that's pretty much how the story went. What if there was one where everything was exactly the same as ours, all the way up until, say, there was no Hitler or there was no Abraham Lincoln? I mean, think about how much different things would have been with changes like that even recent changes like that. Everything up until that point was exactly the same, which is highly unlikely. But at that point, there was no Abraham Lincoln, so all of that changed. You know what I mean? Like, he did so much for this, for the way that the world is now, that even a recent change like that from 140 years ago, 150 years ago, would have made such a big difference. That's the kind of stuff that fascinated me. You know, I mean, what if one of the Earths didn't have a flood or a Noah, and we were all still living to be 900 plus years old like they did back in Noah's day? I mean, could you imagine living to be 900 years old? That's what they say in the Bible happened during Noah's age. So, you know, also, what if dinosaurs never went extinct? What if dinosaurs are still roaming the Earth? I mean, that's crazy to think about this kind of stuff. But if there are multiple Earths, that would certainly be possible. And as you can tell from my rambling here, I'm very passionate about this idea because it's something that's been in my head, like I said, for, you know, 25 years. That's crazy. So one time, I was, you know, I haven't told very many people about this theory. This is something I had cooking in my brain for many years. But one time I was actually talking with a coworker a few years ago about this whole crazy idea. And I explained to him the entire theory. And he's a Christian man, so he could relate on some of the points. You know, he could understand and relate to the history of the Bible and those parts that I was pulling from, and he could understand that. And I told him one particular part, though, that I never used in the story, but it really upset him. I said, what if each of these Earths had their own saviors from sin, like multiple Jesuses? Of course, he didn't like that, and he got pretty mad that I would even suggest that the Jesus we know is not the one true Son, as we're taught. I'm certainly not here to argue for or against that teaching, because I know that Jesus is actually a figure that's pretty polarizing also, even in Christianity. Judaism, you know, Islam, and Christianity, it all pretty much, it pivots on the existence or the importance of Jesus. So that's a big point. And I didn't bring it into the story too much because, I don't know, I think it would have probably detracted a little bit. So I just wanted to point out that was something that I left out, although I don't know how much of a, if that was a good decision or not to leave that out. But anyway, this guy, he got pretty mad about this, and you know, he didn't like the idea. But what I believe is that my actual beliefs don't have a role here. You know, what I actually believe as a person, my personal beliefs, they don't really have a role, since this is a work of fiction. This is all stuff that's hypothetical. You know, I think that God gave me an open mind to explore these thoughts. And it's not saying that I believe them, but I believe that hypothetically, it's an interesting story. So that's why I wrote about it. Anyway, so for 25 years, I've had this rough story rolling around in my head. And that's a long time. And I usually forget things almost immediately, so I know that it had to be a pretty big deal, and it was something that I had to get out on paper, or in this case, in audio. And I imagine that someone else somewhere out there has had the exact same theory. And I've been told that it actually is pretty similar to stories that other people have written or read. But I'd like to think that the entire combination and the whole presentation of how I did the story is what made it all unique. I even brought in other things from my actual childhood to make it a little bit more personal. Like that dream about jumping into the image of my parents and landing on myself, that was an actual dream that I had when I was very young. And I wrote that story as an essay in eighth grade one time, I remember, because it's been in my mind since, you know, I was probably 7 or 8 years old when I had that dream, so it's been rolling around up there for a long time, and it was good to actually incorporate it into this story somehow. So it was kind of cool. Plus, that story about the dog, about Lobo. I actually did have a dog named Lobo, and I was a toddler at the time, so I don't remember too much about him. So I had to make up a lot. You know, I had to fill in some blanks there and make up some things. But I do know that my dad actually did get rid of him because he growled at my mom once. So that was all true. But there's a lot of fill in the blanks there. And the fact that Evan was from Valparaiso, Indiana, it was only used because that's near the area where I grew up. And it's kind of a major city in that area, so I figured I'd use it. And there are a couple reasons for that. One is, I figured if I have any remnant of an accent left from the Northwest Indiana region, or should I say the Northwest Indiana region, that maybe I should use that to my advantage. Plus, I was originally going to flesh out more of a childhood story from Evan, and there was going to be a lot more of his background and things like that. And I figured since I grew up in that area that I would know more about it and I could use my personal experiences as references. But I ended up actually cutting a lot of that from the story because I wanted to make it less about you know, wasting time talking about things like that and more about kind of the rush because of the fact that we knew this battery was going to run out very soon. So I wanted to focus more on that. Well, it wasn't until about 3 years ago that I thought about the possibility of writing a story where I use that original theory, and then I changed it a little bit to make it so that those other humans somehow met our own humans. And then that story evolved into something where it wasn't simply a matter of them meeting us, and it turned more into a redefinition of that whole alien sighting thing. You know, it's been going on since the beginning of recorded history. And my thing was, what if one of those planets was actually trying to round up the other humans from all across the universe and use them for experimentation? And it wasn't until I sat down and actually got those thoughts from my head to the paper that I realized a great way to do this would be from the perspective of one man who was caught up in the middle of it. You know, he was one of the test subjects trying to escape and save the others. And I thought about how it would ultimately be like a new Adam and Eve. And I started racking my brain about a title. And I don't remember the other titles that I had at first, but Eve of Adam was actually one of the very first, maybe second or third ideas I had for a title. And once I had that name, it was like, well, that's perfect. You know, Eve of Adam. And I couldn't believe that the URL hadn't been taken already. It seems like a pretty simple play on words, I guess, but it's a play on both Adam and Eve, you know, the actual first people on the planet, and the Eve of Adam being the beginning of a new Adam, beginning of a new civilization, and all this that the Mastodons believed they were going to do. And that's I think I only mentioned it one time in the book, and it must have been the last episode where there was the Eve of Adam Project. Is that's what the Mastodons actually called it, the Eve of Adam Project. So I'm also aware of the fact that this whole new Eve and Adam and Eve thing is not new. You know, there's a whole, I think there's a show called Adam 2.0, or maybe it's a book or something. I try to stay away from that stuff because I don't want any of that to influence my own writing. But I'm aware that this stuff is out there. I'm aware that that particular part of the theory is not new. But I'm hoping that the way I did things was unique. You know, my own twist on it was unique. So that's about it in a nutshell as far as the history of the story. I think overall the project went fairly well. I've received probably 95-98% positive comments and remarks about the story. Of course, there are some exceptions, which you know, would be expected. But I'm glad it all came together. And since this was my first time doing this, I learned a lot from my mistakes. And the number one being the time that everything took. Like I said, if I was going to do this again, it would be written beforehand and released on a much more regular basis, not stretched over 9 months. Also, it would be pretty awesome if I could get some professional voice actor to play the main character, because I am not an actor at all. Oh, speaking of that, I wanted to thank, once again, the guys who provided their voices for me. And I know I had originally talked about this in other summary episodes, but I planned on doing this whole thing on my own, you know, with the exception of Rich Garner, who did the wonderful work on that teaser trailer. He was going to do the teaser trailer, and then I was going to do the entire rest of the thing. But he and I had worked together on previous podcasts briefly, but I always thought he had a great voice, especially for the voice of John. You know, when I wrote that, I thought of him. He has a very distinct voice, I think, and I think that was a great role for him. So I'm glad he helped me out with that. And then for the voice of Eldra, Jonathan, who I talked about in the last summary episode, I think he did a wonderful job. And I explained on the last summary episode that he and I have worked together on previous podcasts. You know, I've been on his show and he's been on mine. And he's a really great guy. And I can't pimp his podcast enough because it is truly one of my favorites. Even if I have other podcasts that I've downloaded that have come out before his, I will skip ahead and download his and listen to it because I just love it. But it's called The Online Gamers Anthology. And if you are one of those people who are nostalgic about old computer games, you have to check this out because that's basically what he talks about. The evolution of computer games as they pertain to online games. That's the key thing here. As they pertain to MMOs and how we know them today. That's just the whole thing about it. But I have a link to it in the out of character credits page at eveofadam.com. So you can go on there and click on the link and get taken to his podcast. And another thing I wanted to mention was when I made the decision to change Eldra into an evil character and not have him show up anymore, I had to axe John from any more speaking roles. And I hated to do that and I felt bad about it. But, you know, Jonathan's a good guy and I think he was just happy to contribute as much as he did anyway. So definitely thanks to him for all his help. Now, of course, if you couldn't already figure it out, the voice of Tin was me with a pitch change. I didn't really want to bring another person into the whole thing because, like I said, I originally wanted there to be no other voices. So I opted to just do the pitch change thing. And I know it sounded hokey, and I don't know, but it was the biggest thing to me is it allowed me to work the way I work best, which is in large chunks. You know, I sit down, most of these chapters took place where I sat down, I wrote, I recorded, edited, and released within, you know, maybe a 5-hour chunk. And that's how I work best. I work best just sitting down, getting it done. When I have to write something and then I have to send it out for someone else to get their part done and then send it back to me, I get out of a rhythm. And that's not to say that Jonathan, you know, took his time. He actually got his stuff in like a day or two, which is amazing. But it's still, even just a couple hours would throw me out of that loop and out of my rhythm. And that's just how I work best. I just work best in chunks. So that's probably the main reason why I wanted to do the voices and why I just opted to do a pitch change on Tin. But I hope it worked out. I hope it didn't detract too much from the story, and I hope it didn't make you laugh too much when you listen to it. But again, I just want to thank all of you for listening and for sticking with me through this entire project. Now that it's all finished, I'll probably start to get it out there a little bit more, maybe advertise for it. And maybe audiobooks.com again. I actually tried them once before, but maybe some other podcast book websites. And I think the reason I wanted to wait and do that is because it's a relatively short book, and there's a lot of short spurts, you know, short episodes. And I think that it would be better if someone sat down and listened to it all in one large chunk instead of waiting 2 weeks for their next 10 minutes. You know, I don't think that's the best way to do it. Oh, and if you're wondering whatever happened to that goat, you know, that goat, just notice that I did keep the ending open for the possibility of a sequel, and I will leave it at that. Although, don't expect anything soon, because I'm taking a little break. But I can't stop writing. Writing is me, and it's in my blood, so I will probably do another one of these. If not in audio, probably at least in actual book form. So maybe you can look for that. But again, thanks everyone. I am so happy that everything turned out the way it did, and I'm so happy that you all are listening right now. So this is me, Sean Schuster, signing off. Goodbye everyone, and thank you.